Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency wants to work for you. And they will. And they'll do great work for you. They're a great team to work with when it comes to listing your home, selling your home, getting you in a new one. They make the transaction. First of all, they make it pleasant. They make it fun. You can always get a hold of them. You don't have to call them 15 times. They're going to help you get the most money for your home. That's the idea, right? They have the marketing. They have the connections. They're going to make your home look beautiful. It may be a beautiful home. They're going to make it look even more beautiful. That's what they do every single day. But you got to reach out. So to LiveLoveMemphis.com.
Or in my case, it was certainly a different situation. It was an ugly home. A home that I thought I wouldn't be able to sell because it was so ugly. Situation was so bad. And she made it look beautiful in terms of how she staged that thing. Got me sold 6 days. Again, this was a home I was underwater on. So the situation for me was a change, not just in terms of getting out from under it, but in terms of the equity was able to build when she helped us pick our dream home as well. So she did it on both sides for us. She's continued to do it through every market. And again, do not hesitate based on your preconceived notions to call her. At the very least, she'll be a great resource for you. It's 625-5200. She wants to help particularly first-time home buyers get you out of renting situations, get you into ownership situations. That's how you make Memphis a better place. That's Jennifer Carstensen's mission. And again, that's why you should call 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. NBA Finals tonight. It'd be game three of the NBA Finals. And for the Boston Celtics, everyone awaits the status of Kristaps Porzingis. He was diagnosed with a... let me see if I can pronounce this, a medulla oblongata of the bird that a D tree.
But no fool.
Oh, that's not what he was diagnosed with?
Not the brain.
Rebecca, like my man Grove Hero would say. Rebecca.
It's very rare what he has.
I don't know if anybody here I hope you have been, but Grove Hero.
Well, don't laugh at your own joke before you've told it.
You know Grove Hero, right?
No.
You don't know Grove Hero?
I don't know this reference whatsoever.
Dude, Grove Hero, he's like a Memphis comedian type. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like a content creator, I guess, too.
Last time I was out was Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle.
And he will be videoing, right?
Yes.
And he has like a, and he doesn't hide it. He has like a hand handicap, right? Like, he kind of uses that to ingratiate himself to people. It's part of the bit. But he'll walk up to people in, like, you know, Walmart or Target, and he will say the most random things, right? That he'll say
here in Memphis.
Yes, and he'll say,
"Have you sent me his stuff?"
I think I probably have. I think I probably have.
Maybe I didn't realize it was.
But he'll walk up to like this, you know, this older person that's working at Walmart or Target. He'll say like, "Where is the Doudan?" And they'll say the I'm sorry, the what? And he'll say the Doudan. and they will have no idea what, like, what is it? I have no idea.
They'll just be very confused.
And then he'll just keep asking. And
that's funny.
It is.
It doesn't take much to entertain you.
I mean, it's too good, bro.
But he's Memphis, so he's Memphis. So
these people are all unsuspecting, you know, and he'll walk up to somebody who's balding, he's got like the male pattern baldness going on, you know,
yes.
And he'll say, Ginobili.
Oh, now that's, you get fired on for that. And you can if he wants to go to Hickory Hill or something and play those games. Go into AutoZone or Hickory Hill
and
play that game.
Grove Hero is
get smacked.
Absolutely hilarious. He walked up to Dylan Brooks at the airport.
Is he from Bethel Grove or something?
Why do we call him Grove Hero? I think
must
so.
Be if
yeah.
He's repping Bethel Grove.
He used to run with Dolph. He walked up to Dylan Brooks at the Starbucks in the airport one time, and he said, Sharon is Karen.
I think maybe that's what maybe you said.
He said, pass the ball. This is during the playoffs. He told that man, Sharon is Karen. Oh, that's too good. I don't know.
A lot of people were trolling.
It just made me think about the you know, some of the things that, like, whatever Porzingis has, it's like the Dudean, Rebecca. But he
what
is
a strange connection.
I know. That's the way my brain works. But anyway, we all await the status of Kristaps Porzingis.
Again, what is it, John?
It's a foot thing. It's like a tendon. But I can't pronounce it. I had a problem with it yesterday, and I'm continuing to have a problem with it.
Oh, you're scared to hit it again because
yeah.
You tried to yesterday.
Well, you try to do it. I mean, the Ken Niumatalolo tendon, you know.
Torn medial retinaculum, allowing dislocation of the posterior tibialis. Tibialis. I shouldn't have tried. I'm sorry.
Rebecca.
It's tough. It's very tough. I've never had to pronounce
it. Yeah, I gave up on it yesterday. When it was breaking, I was like, hey, there's a Porzingis has a thing.
Retinaculum.
Yeah. That's not like a...
As
compound words go, that's not a very smooth one. You
retinaculum.
Know? Retinaculum.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it retinaculum?
But what about...
That was actually your first girlfriend's name, retinaculum, wasn't it?
That's one of your best ones in 24, I'm going to say, because I can see a Memphis girl named Retina Culum. A girl in Memphis City Schools named Retina. I think she actually she might have just got through school. Now, usually I don't allow you to laugh at your own jokes. I think it's silly, but that was actually very well done.
But you can see, you can see at a Memphis.
I was envisioning her.
At a roll call, Retina Culum. Is she here?
Her. I think that Glow knows her.
Yeah.
Glow grew up with Retina.
Oh, man. Oh, that's...
Now, you need to calm down and talk about Porzingis, and it's questionable, and we are waiting word.
Retina.
Come back to the show. Retina's a real name, but I wasn't pronouncing it that way. If I had separated them, I could have come back. That was well done, man.
Okay. Anyway, Kristaps Porzingis, we're waiting on him.
Got that retina.
He walked out onto the court. He walked out onto the court today for shoot-around. They closed it to media, so we don't know how he looked, but he did walk out there on his own. And now we'll see if he can play through it. Now, let me ask you this. If you're Boston, how do you manage it? If he can play, do you play him?
I mean, you give it a go, and if he's hurting you in any sense, and then particularly defensively, where he'd been so good for you being that presence, if he's hurting you at all, you pull him. Again, for a couple of reasons. You don't want to overdo it here. I know he's going to want to play, obviously, and finish this out. Sounds like surgery is what's usual for this. I'm sure he's going to try to put it off until afterwards. But, no, man, if it's not benefiting me, if in any way, really, if it's even a neutral, I'm pulling him from it. The good thing for them is they haven't put him in a position where they've depended on him.
Right.
You know, you bring him off the bench in these finals. It's worked beautifully.
Yeah.
And now you can just, you know, take it easy. Sure, give it a go. Let him try. Because you don't want a situation either where you've told him medically, no, you can't give it a go, if he's not going to do any further damage to it, right, leading into the off-season surgery. You don't want to tell Porzingis, who, as we point out, had never been past the first round of the playoffs in his 9 years, you don't want to tell him, no, you can't finish in these finals. You give him the opportunity if it's not going to do any further damage.
No doubt. You don't
need to press the situation, press the issue.
Yeah, I think that's what they'll do.
And
I
Boston
think
doesn't need
exactly.
to have to press Porzingis.
It's 2-0.
because they're so deep.
Yeah,
it's 2-0. And to your point, they're up 2-0.
Yeah, so I think that's a good call. I think that's what they'll probably do. I think they go through shoot around. They see how he looks. If he looks okay, they'll try him. And you see this all the time. Guys will try it. They will come back like Kawhi did, right? He came back in the first series against the Mavs, and he just was not himself, and they shut him down again, right? Tony Allen came back with the hamstring against the Warriors. They tried it. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
I feel like there was another example of somebody that tried it, and they had to take him. Oh, it was Anthony Davis, remember? Didn't Anthony Davis have like a some type of hamstring injury, knee injury, and he pushed it, and he had to come out? And it didn't. It was a recent series, I think. But they'll do that, and they'll see. Hey, how do you respond to game? You know, what are you good? If he's not, yes, they'll pull him. If he is, I think they'll keep him in there. What's interesting to me about the Porzingis thing, the Celtics are plus 25 in the minutes that he's on, and they're plus 0 in the minutes that he's off. So when he's off, it's a much more, you know, back and forth affair. Could go either way, right?
Sure.
With that being said,
I tell you, a lot of that's defense.
It is. I'd
forgotten how much of a defensive presence he was.
With that being said, I think even if he doesn't play tonight, they can still win. Because I think Cornette, and I made this point yesterday, Cornette, if that's who they decide to sort of go with, or if it's Brissett, or if it's Xavier Tillman, I mean, they did go trade for Xavier Tillman, who is a solid big, who's played playoff minutes. Like, I don't think it's just that much of a downgrade against the Babs bigs, who really can only do one thing. And everybody knows what that is, which is they want to roll and finish lives at the rim. That's what they do. They don't. There's not really much more than that one dimension that the Mavs do with Gafford and Lively. And by the way, they're both really poor free throw shooters. So you kind of just feel like you can still take it away. Plus, the Celtics are a big team, right? I mean, you got Tatum and Brown in there. You know, I mean, they've done a good job at playing the lob too with Horford. So. Mm-hmm. I don't think it necessarily has to doom them. I mean, does it make it a more evenly matched series? Certainly does. But what if Tatum ever decides to stop shooting 28% from three? You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
I tell you this, Kyrie is in custody with Drew Holiday, and that ain't changing. That ain't changing, bro.
I mean, he ain't just going to own Kyrie Irving the entire series.
Famous last words.
No.
Famous last words. He's locked in.
Kyrie been too good. He'll bounce back in Dallas. Again, he's not just going to own him, and he has so far. You're not going to do that to him the entire series. He's
yeah. Good.
Again, what would it do to Van Gundy's declaration that this is the best offensive backcourt ever assembled?
Well, that
if Kyrie is
was
shut
a ridiculous
for,
statement.
No, it wasn't. It
wasn't better than Golden State's backcourt,
bro. Stop.
It wasn't. Not in their peak.
Stop.
On their peak,
Clay
bro.
Can't even dribble, bro. You're talking,
I was talking about Jordan Poole, bro.
You're talking about the two greatest shooters ever put together. It's not the greatest, most skilled offensive backcourt. That's Luka and Kyrie.
What about Jordan and DJ Armstrong?
Hey, stop. Now, you threw out who you thought it was for a second. It got run over, and now you're going to get silly again.
I think the fact that he didn't have to dribble speaks to his greatness.
Again, but if Drew Holiday shuts down Kyrie for an entire series and it's the finals, it will hurt.
Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan.
Van Gundy's assessment.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I gotta pray about that.
There's never been two playmaker scores, handles, all of it together.
I gotta pray about that. I really
do.
And
I guess technically from a shooting standpoint, I mean, Luka ain't some great free throw shooter.
Yeah.
And you know, while he shot it a little bit better from three, that's can be off and on.
Yeah.
But dude, give me a break. And those guys who you're starting teams with those guys.
That's true. I think the greatest
now,
starting backcourt
on the back end
in NBA history is Rebecca and the Dudan. I think.
Yeah, I see.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done,
I see
bro.
What you're going to do.
Can we get Grove Hero on the show? Can we do that?
I didn't even realize he was Memphis. So
bro, he's huge.
You've educated me on
he's
it.
He's huge. Yeah. And my man Chuck says he is from Ridge Grove in Fraser.
Ridge Grove. Yeah. Gotcha.
So we want to make sure we get that accurate.
Get the right Grove.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we have several of them.
You don't want to be in his crosshairs, bro. He does like this. He does this. I don't know where he pops up at.
Especially with my hairline.
He does like a basketball hoop he sets up, and you pay $20 to shoot. I think you have to make like 5 in a row. And if you make 5 in a row, you get it all. He calls it pluck the chicken. Yeah.
I know what
Grove Hero is all about, bro.
Let him come around me talking about some Doc Rivers or something, trying to check
my
hair. I'll light him up.
Oh, don't
I'll
do that.
I'll light him up.
Don't do that.
Has he ever gotten in? How has he not come across someone in Memphis who didn't check him back, who put him on the spot? Because that's typically what's going to – he just picks old people, right? Folks that he can pick on.
Well, I would say unsuspecting.
Not somebody that can actually fight back.
Unsuspecting.
With some Memphis checking.
I would say. But I would definitely not want to – I would hope that does. I don't want you to get into a checkoff with Grove Hero. That's what he does all day long.
Not intimidated by dude.
All right, well.
Went to Roswell and Snowden.
Oh, no, no. So Grove Hero, he doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it.
Been in plenty of checking sessions.
But anyway, yeah, game three tonight. We're going to have Fade Brad a little bit later in the show. We'll get his pick. You guys kind of can tell where I'm at. I actually have bet on this game. I don't want to say it because
don't say it. Yeah, don't sway.
Yeah, Brad. I don't want to say it.
Or Pam, sway them.
Well, yeah, Pam is.
She's listening intently, and you might sway her.
Checking for the picks over there, and I get it. I mean, this is where
appreciate her listening.
The greatness is certainly made. But we'll do that a little bit later in the show. Listen, I don't know. Part of me hopes maybe for a competitive series. Part of me thinks that the Celtics just own them in so many different matchups. Porzingis or not, that it's just going to be difficult for them to win. I mean, the Mavs are a 5 seed, right? I mean, this is not some – nobody was talking about Dallas before the season started or even after they made the trades. Nobody was talking – this is a team that couldn't even, make the playoffs last year.
They weren't good enough defensively.
Yeah, they didn't make the play-in last year, did they? Or did they make the play-in and lose? I can't remember, but it was –
No, I don't think they made the play-in either.
Yeah, it was
they were tanking at the end of the
season. Yes, exactly right. It was embarrassing. So this is not a Mavs team that's some well-oiled machine. They're playing a ton better since the acquisitions. They were never a team, even going into the playoffs, that everybody was like, oh, yeah, you got to watch out for them. That's just not how they were. So they've way overachieved.
And tanking, I guess, got them lively. No?
Yes.
The 12 or 11 pick? 12 pick, I think.
Absolutely right. I mean, that's a great pick.
I mean, look how it's paying off.
I mean, that should give you hope with the Grizz at 9.
Disgusted, yeah.
You know, if they can get lively at 12, you can certainly get a Dalton Connect, somebody that can help you at 9. So,
just don't think there's a big necessarily like that in our range. We'd have to move, right? That's kind of where we went with that discussion.
Unless you just love Edie, you know what I mean? Unless you just love Edie, which I like him. I don't like him.
Edie as my starter.
I kind of feel like Edie is the player today who he's always going to be. I don't think there's like a.
Because technically, Lively's coming off the bench now.
Yeah, right? But he'll be the starter someday.
Clearly.
Like, you could tell his ceiling is super high, you know?
Oh, absolutely. He's everything you need around the rim.
Yeah.
In this NBA game.
Yeah.
NBA world.
Anyway, that's the game finals. Game three of the NBA finals tonight. Brad, we have that on 92.9. We will have that game right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, we'll come back. But Monty Jones is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the finals, about Caitlin Clark. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's always a good day when we get to catch up with our friend Bomani Jones. You can catch him on the right time with Bomani Jones. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, and he joins us now. Bo, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing a lot better. You got to talk to the phone people. They were likely. I was like, man, I'll send y'all straight out of here.
Yeah, I know.
Why y'all keep calling?
Yeah, it comes up as spam, which this may be spam. I don't know. We'll see what this month's ratings book says. But yeah, we got to work on what that comes through as. All right, man. So you're the perfect person to talk to about this. It's something that over the last, you can kind of tell that it was getting a little weird and a little contentious, even going back to the championship and the Final Four with Caitlin, and it's only sort of, it feels like, gotten more intense on both sides of the argument, to the extent that we should even be having an argument about this. I want to talk about the discourse, though, more so than the player, because that to me is the more fascinating piece of this from a societal perspective. Why are people so weird about Caitlin Clark?
I mean, I think, generally speaking, our brains are broken, right? Like, I think our ability to communicate with each other has really been distorted by these machines that we're on. I know that sounds almost like, that sounds a little extreme, but I don't think it's wrong. I think another part of this, and it's just kind of a difficulty we're going to have a WNBA discussion in the first place, is talking about men, by and large, talking about sports is by and large talking about men. We don't really know how to reconcile talking about sports and talking about women at the same time, let alone, generally speaking, for most people, reconciling just talking about women at all as being a thing. So you throw all of this together, and then you wind up with Caitlin Clark, who, to me, it seems that people on all sides of the argument project upon her more than they're actually talking about the person who exists. Right. I don't really know that much about this woman at all, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. You don't hear much discussion now about her or about her game. It all comes back to us talking about ourselves.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's where this conversation has bled. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the way that she has been welcomed, or maybe lack thereof, by her peers in the WNBA has contributed to the discussion? Because we were talking about this earlier this week. Like, let's just take Wimby. When Wimby comes over, he's a number one overall pick. He is a freak of nature. He's doing things we've never really seen at that size. And it wasn't like this, is Ja going to try to dunk on Wimby? Sure, like that's part of the thing. But it wasn't like this abrasiveness in terms of Wimby's got to come over here and he's got to prove it, where it does kind of feel like there is that element of all Caitlin brings is three-point shooting. We weren't hearing all Wimby is just tall. Or maybe we were, and I got my head buried in the sand here, Bo.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we only heard one person say the thing that all she's bringing is three-point shooting, and that one person is probably not the best representative of the larger body. I do think, though, that the she's got to come and prove it is based on something different, and I think is perfectly fair and legitimate from the women of the league, which is that she's not the best player in the WNBA. And she's not even close to being the best player in the WNBA. I don't even know if she's the best player on the Indiana Fever. But there's an expectation of some level of deference because of her visibility, and that these women are supposed to make room for her just in the name of money, as though this is not sports,
right?
Like this whole thing like a boss nonsense that everybody's supposed to act like they run in the league when they do this. And I do think that she does need to prove it because, quite honestly, that's how things work. You show up in the new place and you have to prove it. What you did at the previous one doesn't really matter. And she hasn't proven anything as of now. And I think Caitlin Clark would be the first person to admit to you that she hasn't proven anything.
I'm so with you on that. Now, I watched what you said, particularly, you know, you point out, I mean, if we're looking through it, if we start the conversation with the fact that she hasn't earned the spot on the Olympic team, then maybe there's much less back and forth so far, or people getting hot, whatever else. I will say, though, Bo, yeah. I mean, I do want to say that to ask you this, though. The fact that we are asking you about this, and I realize it's gotten out of hand, but we're asking you about Caitlin Clark and being snubbed on the Olympic team before we're asking you about Game 3 of the finals. Like, the attention that she has drawn, that part, you can't argue. Like, she brings eyeballs, she's bringing people to conversation, some a little bit crazy, clearly, but the attention. And for that reason alone, like, I realize, you know, what are they going for, an eighth straight gold medal, and that's important, but I'd rather see her on there at the end of the bench in mop-up minutes because I'm paying more attention than, with all due respect, than Diana Taurasi, who has certainly earned it. But, man, we've seen that, Bomani. We're trying to grow the game. What would you say back to that part? Just know she hadn't earned it,
but we're
going to pay more attention and we're going to care more.
Well, the thing is, though, she wouldn't get to play because you still have to manage the roster that you've got. And I do agree with the idea that if she doesn't get to play, that creates another level of controversy that's not worth the stress for all the people in charge. Like, I think there's something to that. And I would argue that we haven't seen Diana Taurasi in the Olympics because you weren't watching them play in the damn Olympics.
No, wasn't.
I'm not even sure that all.
That's why I'm okay with her being. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bomo. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that all these people that swear that they're going to watch a Caitlin Clark in there is actually going to watch. Mm-hmm. How many of the people that think are the loudest on Team Caitlin Clark are actually watching her play basketball at this point, or even watch that many of those games that she was in college? Because, look, those numbers that they're showing on those TV broadcasts, they are good numbers. They are certainly much higher than they were before. Yeah. But 2 million people watching the Indiana Fever game is 298 million people in this country who ain't watching the Indiana Fever game. And you're just not going to tell me that all these people making all these noise are actually watching. Mm. That's why I just feel like so much of what's happening with her is an actual projection. Mm. And I think that America needs to ask themselves why they have not been watching the most dominant athletic program that this country has sent to the Olympics. These women have won the gold medal 7 straight times. And if I'm not mistaken, by double digits in the gold medal game every single time. They did a great 30 for 30 very recently about the 1996 women's Olympic team after they got a bronze medal. It's the end of the world whenever we don't win no gold in basketball. It's like the only reason they let the black people stick around is if we win gold medals, and if not, we all got to leave. So everything changed. They get a bronze medal. We ain't even talking about no not medal. They don't get no gold medal in the Olympics, and everything got to get torn down. They did that, and they won that thing seven straight times, and wasn't nobody watching. Now, I think that question deserves a bit more attention than trying to find some way to shoehorn Caitlin Clark onto the end of the bench when there are going to be women, whoever that 12th person that you're taking off, it might be a pretty significant career accomplishment for that person, a gold medal they give down to their kids and everything else, right? Like, there's so much that's going on here, and I just am stunned by the idea that sports fans are arguing against earning it.
We could have got her on a three-on-three joint, though, Bo. We could have got her in a three-on-three.
And see, you know what? See, that's the thing. If they're trying to get that money, that's what they should have done. You just want to send her out there, put her out there in the three-on-three game.
She'll cook.
Yep. I mean, and we can get the advertisers and everything else.
I know Haley Van Lith, you know, played in the last one, but she got absolutely destroyed by Caitlin. You know, she needs to be in over Haley.
Now, Bomani, maybe if we put her on the team, it will be a little closer. It'll be more reason to watch. It'll be a little bit more competitive, right? Because she's pulling the damn thing down. How about that? Yeah, how about the opposite, Lou?
Look at you trying to help the world cover the spread. I see you.
That's what. Yeah, he's got the.
I just want her on the team, or at least as an analyst, as you point out. Just give me some.
Yeah.
That was a good idea.
I liked that.
That was a great idea because you get the best of both worlds if you go that route.
Yeah, like I really think though, if you want to leverage her for eyeballs, then yeah, put her on the Today Show and have her be like a correspondent or whatever that talks about the rest of the basketball team. Like I do think that there's something to that, but I just hate the way that this has broken our brain. And I do kind of look at her, and I say this as an older person, right? I'm 43 years old now, but like as an older person who has worked with young people of that age range a decent bit in my life, man, this has got to be really difficult to be 22 years old, and the thing that's always been easy to you is now harder than it's ever been, and you from this little, you know, I mean, I say a little bitty town in Iowa, but that's the only kind of towns Iowa really got, but that's where you're from, and now you are all these things for all these people and pulled and tugged in all these directions while you're getting your ass handed to you and knocked around on the basketball court every week. Like, that can't be fun.
No.
Yeah, you know, and she's, by the way, answering every question exactly how she should. Colin Cowherd had the best point about this. These women in this league are not fragile. We are.
Man.
That's well said.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking to Bomani Jones, right time with well Bomani Jones. Catch it wherever you hear your podcast. New episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And also, again, we'll eventually move on because I do want to get your thoughts on the NBA Finals. But it's also, add to that, like she has shown no interest, right, in being like that symbol. You know what I mean? Like she's not actively trying to be this, you know, sort of social prop or like she's always sort of been above that fray. You know, so to your point, it's she has become that, right? She either represents something for this group or that group, and she has absolutely shown no interest at any point in being that.
Nah, hey, look, and one day, and I look forward to this day, she'll get to start being herself. Mm-hmm. And that's when this will really get fun. We get to stop making her what we want, and we find out who she is.
I want to ask you about social media because that's where these discussions are happening. And I don't have any data to you know, back this up. It's all going to be just my experience and anecdotal. But it does feel like, and I'm not trying to put, like, Elon's doing a great thing for Memphis. He's bringing the AI supercomputer to Memphis. But it does feel like since he took over and bought X, that this app has really been nothing but vitriol, and it's amplified negativity, and it's amplified just, you know, honestly, hatred. I'm just curious if you have felt that on your, maybe you're not on it enough to sort of feel that, but I just, it exhausts me.
He feels it.
It exhausts me. And I'm just wondering if you felt that change in the last couple of years.
No, that's, yes. Part of it is the app, a lot of it is the people, and a lot of it is the fact that, I mean, I think that a lot of us are addicted to the outrage. I think a lot of people can't get enough. Like, everybody, I don't know anybody I know that really talks about Twitter being a pleasant experience, but then get up and turn that thing on and then just get into it. And you just watch my friends. Like, Twitter started making me lose respect for my friends because the way I was watching them pile up people. And I say this to somebody that has started a lot of pile-ons himself, right? Like, I can't totally divorce myself from the idea of what it's become. But I do recognize, man, it's bad news. It's not a net positive in this world, and we all got to find a way to get out of this.
There's no question. And we need. And we're you're right. We're not only addicted to the outrage, I think, but we're also addicted to the, it used to be, and maybe it still is, but it certainly used to be, we depended on it to know what events were going. I mean, this is where we found out Osama bin Laden had been assassinated, right? Where he, yeah. we depended on it for our real-time news, and there's not been a replacement, maybe a little healthier replacement, that's come along yet. So we're just kind of stuck here.
Yeah, and personally for me, I built a community in a lot of ways, a career and visibility through social media, but you can't do that anymore because people don't come to it for community anymore. Like, people come to it to purge anger. That's the reason that people show up. And I've been really trying to figure this out for a long time. What do you do when, like, the house that you, like, your clubhouse turned into a crack house? What do you do? Where do y'all go? And you're like, oh, we got another house, man. They smoking crack in there, too.
That's a bar. What? That's a bar right there, Bo. What do you do when the clubhouse becomes a crack house? That's exactly what this is now.
Bo, might I ask for the finals if the Celtics go on and win 18, and that's, you know, there's still a lot to be determined. Obviously, Dallas could get back in this thing. But if they do, if the Celtics go on and win, do you think, and this would be a guess right now because we've still got to see what happens with Jaylen Brown and with Jason Tatum, but do you think we'll be giving the majority of the credit to those two guys who've sort of been at this stage waiting on the breakthrough now for, you know, 6 Eastern Conference Finals for Jaylen, 5 for Jason Tatum? We'd be kind of waiting on this. Or should it go to a Brad Stevens in that front office who, man, when you go out and decide to trade off of Marcus Smart, you bring in a Porzingis, so we'll see if he can play, but also the move to get Drew Holiday. Like, I think it's their depth, too, that's been a big part of this. I just wonder who will be given the majority of the credit to. Will it be ultimately the players, the stars themselves, or should Brad get a little bit more?
Well, we'll give the credit to who we want to, depending on whatever thing that we're serving at the time. I think the players will ultimately get more because it's been a long climb for those boys. And one thing that we respect in this game is the climb that people make. And they kind of wound up in a situation where we wouldn't be so hard on them if they hadn't been so good so young.
True.
So if Jason Tatum's not up here putting up shots in the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 7 at 20 years old as a rookie, then we're not as hard on him about the fact that you fast forward 6 years and they still haven't won a championship, right? So I am inclined to go with the players. At the same time, Brad made 2 moves this year that all alone didn't seem like that big a deal, but when you looked at them in the first 2 games of the series, and it was getting Holiday and getting Porzingis, and what their defense became by having those players. Like, all that stuff we were saying about Minnesota when they were playing against Denver at first, that's...
No, we lost.
Yeah, I think we lost, Bo. Let's try him back, because I did want to ask him one more. Let's try Bo Monty back if we can, so we can finish that point. But, man, I love his perspective on, you know, on X, on, you know, on Caitlin, because, you know, it is it all makes sense to me, you know.
You hope guys like that stay on X, that they're not run off by the negativity, because, again,
yeah,
they'll help us sort of refocus in terms of these discussions, get off the hate.
Well, maybe someday a new place comes along.
As sort of a cop.
You know, either that or, you know, maybe a new place comes along someday, you know, where we can migrate and it's...
Well, what's even starting that looks that positive? What, your Threads?
We tried that, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't think people necessarily have caught on, you know, or maybe even given it, because you're not on there, right?
No.
So... I mean, if we can't get you, it's not going to be a mass appeal.
Again, I'm not the audience you're shooting for. You're shooting for the next generation, right? That they're going to grow up with it so it then becomes part of the routine.
Yeah.
And so, no, you're not shooting for the 40. You're shooting for the young.
Right.
And so, no, I'm not your target audience.
Yeah.
Sorry, understanding. Sounded like his phone might have cut off. That battery might have went dead.
Yeah, the Indiana Fever.
Because that wasn't just a deal where we were getting bad reception.
Right.
That was a straight cutoff. They cut off Bomani's phone.
That's right. They tapped it. Anyway, but listen, I was going to ask him about John Morant. Maybe the next time. I want to get his thoughts on if he's rooting for John Morant. But
only ask him that at the right time.
Only at the right time with Bomani Jones will we be able to ask him that question. So,
wait
a minute. Do we have an upset? I think we might. I don't know. Bo, we got you. Bo, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sorry about that. So just to finish your point about Porzingis and the moves that Brad Stevens made, then we got one more, yeah. And then we'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, no, their defense just turned into something incredible. And so what they've got is a series right now where they got like three dudes where you may ask the question at different points, who's the best player?
Right.
And maybe they figured out the thing with Tatum and Brown, and we're trying to figure out if either of them is a number one. And maybe, like, a full-on number one, and maybe neither of them is, and it doesn't matter. Like, you know where you wind up where in baseball, where you ask yourself about a pitching staff in the playoffs, do you want a team that's got a one, a two, or a three, or a team that's got three really good number two starters?
Mm-hmm.
And that may be what they have, is three, like, Tatum and Brown may be, like, two upper echelon sorts of dudes, and then you got a 7'3" rim protector, and then just an incredible defender that finally gives them a point guard, which for some reason they thought they didn't need for 6 years.
Yeah, and then last thing, Bo, got to ask you. Ja Morant has a new agent. He has a new lease on life. You know, obviously came back for 9 games. Grizz were 6-3 in those games, and he was awesome. It seems like his, personal life transgressions and bad decisions are behind him. Do you find yourself rooting for Ja and sort of this? I know it's all self-inflicted, so that this is not like he's beating some outside force here. But do you find yourself rooting for Ja Morant and his return?
I wouldn't say I root for it. I also would not say that I root against it. I will say, though, like when he did that interview with Jalen Rose, that just felt like he was trying to play us.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I learned how to breathe, right? And so if there were, and he doesn't owe me an explanation for any of these things necessarily, but if there was some public accounting for what was going on that was a bit more sincere, I'd be more inclined to root for him. Because, look, it sounds like he just got really stressed out and overwhelmed by the magnitude of what it became to be Ja Morant. And I do think there's room to root for him, even if the stuff is self-inflicted. It takes a lot to square up to yourself and say, I have to be better, and then actually go out there and do better. And so if he's willing to do that and was willing to like take it on the chin and say, hey, man, I was really out here tripping. Here's how I was tripping. This is what was wrong, and this is what I'm doing, then I would absolutely be inclined to root for him, right? But again, he doesn't owe me these explanations, so I'm simply not going to root against him.
Yeah, I think for people in Memphis, it's just like like, show us on the court.
Yeah, you're hoping that's where Ja's at now.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, look, he's had a lot of time to think about it, no doubt about it. Hey, Bomani, you're the best, man.
Thank
appreciate
you for this
as always.
No problem, man. You guys have a good one.
Yes, sir. He is Bomani Jones. The right time with Bomani Jones, Apple Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday new episodes. Good stuff from him. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that, it is going to be a tough sell for people, or nationally probably on Ja, because it's like these are just nothing but bad decisions by him, Well, here in Memphis, we obviously sympathize and but I don't think he's going to get that warm hug nationally.
Well, it's that and having to prove it and be there coming off of the injuries. The injuries now starting to become just as much of a part of the conversation, Ja missing time, as the actual self-inflicted stuff. So it's that too. It's, we need you to be on the floor. Yes, we hope you've turned a corner in terms of your approach, as Bomani is saying. Let me go prove that I can change. But hopefully too, man, you're avoiding injury, because it's starting to be an issue. It really is.
It is.
In terms of games missed.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to do Faye Brad when we get back, and then Norton Hurd IV will join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN.
It is a great day to get over to Sonic.
I have loved Sonic ever since I was a kid, and I love it to this day. That Sonic grilled cheese is better than any grilled cheese I've ever had. Dead ass.
You got butter on that thing?
Oh, it's got everything on it, man. It is absolutely amazing. I also got that popcorn chicken. I remember so many summers growing up, we would get the Route 44, the Diet Dr. Pepper to this day, and it always hit different. That Route 44. What you know about the Route 44?
Never got it.
You don't know nothing about that.
My kid's gotten it for my kid, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's the truth, man. I would get me and Retina a Route 44, and we would just have a summer day at Sonic. They got popcorn chicken, and they got the brand new, as you know, Sonic Groovy Fries.
What I like about those is they're perfectly salted, John. You know how much I approve of salt on my fries. Now, you haven't had a fry like the Groovy Fry, the all-new Groovy Fry, designed to grab more sauce in between each of those crispy grooves. You've seen a commercial for it. You can picture this. And you see the salt all over them. You've never seen a fry like this before. And if you have, as they say, no, you haven't. You're lying. Get the new Groovy Fries and Groovy Sauce, any size for a dollar. So go ahead and get the large for that $1. You'll do it at Sonic. Live free. Eat Sonic.
We're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I do want to, before we get to Faye Brett, I do want to say one final goodbye to the 1992 beef campaign that ended right then and there, folks. That was the end of the What's for Dinner. What is it?
What's for Dinner. I was the voice behind that, actually.
I did it yesterday. I did the spot yesterday, and Brad actually added it. Brad came in and added it, bro. Your honor. You know?
I appreciate Brad adding that. It's live free.
Live free.
I must say, I know you guys so well now. I know Bennett was here for, three or four years?
Yep.
And I've been doing this now with y'all for probably five, four, three.
Yep. Two, one.
Yep. Yeah. Jason, one of his things, I know, he wants that closure. And so when we're doing live, we need a punch out.
Yeah, Jason definitely,
it's important to have the right closer.
Exactly. We need a dismount. And if we are not dismounting.
Monday was not.
Yeah, no. If we don't have a dismount, we are not going to do.
You know, John's going to shine some light on it as much as
he can. No. Well, here's the thing. They're going to ask for an air check. And what you're going to do, Brad, is not
shave that
Monday.
Shave that off.
You can just do that.
Listen,
yeah.
I think we do the best endorsements in Memphis. And if we have any people listening, these guys are the best.
I always tell people all the time.
Bennett's apparently impressed. He didn't know we'd added Sonic.
I always tell people all the time.
Yeah, a new client, Bennett.
When you look and you think about the Jason, and this is no BS. When you think about the Jason and John show.
Shout out to Bennett.
The endorsers that we have and the endorsers that we are privileged to have.
Thank you.
Have been with us for a long time.
Yeah, because they sell. Like, people get their butts into these places.
And that's not because they just love to give us money. Right?
Right.
It's not because they just are so blessed.
Although I would give you money if I could.
I appreciate that. But the point being, they're running businesses here, whether it's our friends at the Wing Guru, Shoot 360, Live Love Memphis, Robert Irwin Jewelers, Black Tie Moving, now Denstals. Sonic. Denstals has been here from the beginning. Most of our consistent businesses that we are partnered with have been with us from the absolute very beginning.
Yes.
If not from the beginning, three, four, 5 years, because it's proven. So
you were good at it from the beginning, because I remember when we hired y'all, we were like, hey, and you need to come in here and cut a spot. And Jason's like, I've never done this. I said,
that's
you're going to be a natural at this.
Yeah, that's right.
Guess what?
Look at him now.
You guys are amazing at this. So,
if you're driving around right now. And
Scott Spiropoulos is our account manager.
Reach out to Jason directly. Like, we'll get you hooked up with the right people. If you are looking for a way to amplify your business and you want it with people that an audience will trust,
yep,
you're listening to it. All right? Just trying to help you.
Agree.
And that consultation was free. The next one's going to cost you. All right. Speaking of free and costly, if you have been tailing Brad, well, RIP. If you have been fading Brad, though, you have been a flush with cash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. Now, before we get into it, actually, as a matter of fact, let's do the segment. Let's get it started before we go into all the particulars. Let's do it.
Your love is fading.
Now, it's Jason and John's producer, Brad, sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right, so, Jason, we had some controversy with the most recent pick, because at the time of the pick, it was Boston -7. We're talking about game two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brad, on the day of the game, Sunday morning, tweets, Boston -6.5 is my pick. So he took a little liberty there with a half a point that actually wound up mattering. Let me be clear for the purposes of the segment. You are to bet this immediately. You are to bet the fade Brad immediately, because the number may change.
Now, was it 6.5 when I made that prediction on the show?
It was not.
Seven.
It was 7.
So I adjusted a number inadvertently.
Our records keeper. Well, you just went by what it was
at the time.
It
is fluid.
It can change.
Guys, I'm an amateur.
It can change. So
it's understandable. It's kind of unfair because, again, this was a Friday pick for a Sunday game.
That's where I got jacked up. Sorry about that.
But as John says, we're saying you got to do it now.
Exactly right. Yeah. That is the way
so
it goes.
We're in the moment here.
So you pushed. You did not win.
Okay.
You pushed, which would bring his record to what?
31-42-1.
All right,
31-42-1.
Okay. All right, and let's see. And that would bring his...
Flip it, you're 42-31-1.
Yep, all right, so that would bring his... so he's losing at about 57.5. 57.5% is your losing rate, or for the audience, their winning rate.
So they're fading me, and that's how you win, is when you do the opposite.
So again, that's going to come out to about seven, maybe eight units, which again, $100.
We were higher though a couple of picks back.
Oh,
that's
certainly.
He's been hitting and pushing.
But again, let me tell you something. If you could guarantee over, let's say this, we started this in what, late April?
Yeah, when the playoffs started.
If you could guarantee that in a month and a half, I'm gonna win over Sonic. I have loved Sonic ever since I was a kid, and I love it to this day. That Sonic grilled cheese is better than any grilled cheese I've ever had. Dead ass.
You got butter on that thing.
Oh, it's got everything on it, man. It is absolutely amazing. I also got that popcorn chicken. I remember so many summers growing up, we would get the Route 44, the Diet Dr. Pepper to this day, and it always hit different. That Route 44. What you know about the Route 44?
Never got it.
You don't know nothing about that.
My kids got gotten it for my kid, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's the truth, man. I would get me and Retina a Route 44, and we would just have a summer day at Sonic. They got popcorn chicken, and they got the brand new, as you know, Sonic Groovy Fries.
What I like about those is they're perfectly salted, John. You know how much I approve of salt on my fries. Now, you haven't had a fry like the Groovy Fry, the all-new Groovy Fry, designed to grab more sauce in between each of those crispy grooves. You've seen the commercial for it. You can picture this, and you see the salt all over them. You've never seen a fry like this before, and if you have, as they say, no, you haven't. You're lying. Get the new Groovy Fries and Groovy Sauce, any size for $1. So go ahead and get the large for that $1. You'll do it at Sonic. Live free. Eat Sonic.
We're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I do want to, before we get to Faye Brett, I do want to say one final goodbye to the 1992 beef campaign that ended. Right then and there, folks. That was the end of the What's for Dinner. What is it? What's for Dinner.
That was the voice behind that, actually.
I did it yesterday. I did the spot yesterday, and Brad actually added it. Brad came in and added it, bro. Your honor. You know?
I appreciate Brad adding that. It's live free.
Live free.
I must say, I know you guys so well now. I know Bennett was here for, you know, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yep.
And I've been doing this now with y'all for probably 5, 4, 3.
Yep. 2, 1.
Yep. Yeah. Jason, one of his things, I know, he wants that closure. And so when we're doing live, we need a punch out.
Yeah, Jason definitely, you know.
It's important to have the right closer.
Exactly. We need a dismount. And no, if we are not dismounting.
Monday was not.
Yeah, no. If we don't have a dismount, we are not going to do
You know spot. John's going to shine some light on it as much as
no,
he
no,
can.
No, 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 no. Well, here's the thing. They're going to ask for an air check. And what you're going to do, Brad, is not
shave that
Monday.
Shave that off.
Exactly. You can
no,
just do
hey,
that.
Listen,
yeah.
I think we do the best endorsements in Memphis, and if we have any people listening, these guys are the best. So
I always tell people all the time.
Bennett's apparently impressed. He didn't know we'd added Sonic.
I always tell people all the time.
Yeah, new client, Bennett.
When you look and you think about the Jason, and this is no BS, when you think
appreciate
about the Jason and John show.
Shout out to Bennett.
The endorsers that we have and the endorsers that we are privileged to have.
Thank you.
Have been with us for a long time.
Yeah, because they sell. Like, people
and
come get their butts into these places.
That's not because they just love to give us money. Right?
Right.
It's not because they just are so blessed.
Although I would give you money if I could.
I appreciate that. But the point being, they're running businesses here, whether it's our friends at the Wing Guru, Shoot 360, Live Love Memphis, Robert Irwin Jewelers, you know, Black Tie Moving, now Sonic, Venstals has been here from the beginning. Most of our consistent businesses that we are partnered with have been with us from the absolute very beginning.
Yes.
If not from the beginning, 3, 4, 5 years, because it's proven. So
you were good at it from the beginning, because I remember when we hired y'all, we were like, hey, and you need to come in here and cut a spot. And Jason's like, I've never done this. I said, you're going to be a natural at this.
Yeah, that's right.
Guess what?
Look at him now.
You guys are amazing at this. So,
if you're driving around right now. And
Scott Spiropoulos is our account manager. Reach out to me directly, reach out to Jason directly.
Like, we'll get you hooked up with the right people. If you are looking for a way to amplify your business and you want it with people that an audience will trust,
yep,
you're listening to it. All right? Just trying to help you.
Agree.
And that consultation was free. The next one's going to cost you.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, speaking of free and costly, if you have been tailing Brad, well, RIP. If you have been fading Brad, though, you have been flush with cash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. Now, before we get into it, actually, as a matter of fact, let's do the segment. Let's get it started before we go into all the particulars. Let's do it.
Now, it's Jason and John's Producer Brad Sucks at Sports Gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right, so, Jason, we had some controversy with the most recent pick because at the time of the pick, it was Boston -7. We're talking about game two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brad, on the day of the game, Sunday morning, tweets, Boston -6.5 is my pick. So he took a little liberty there with a half a point that actually wound up mattering. Let me be clear for the purposes of the segment. You are to bet this immediately. You are to bet the fade Brad immediately because the number may change.
Now, was it 6.5 when I made that prediction on the show?
It was not.
Seven.
It was 7.
So I adjusted a number inadvertently.
Our records keeper. Well, you just went by what it was at the time. It is fluid. It can change.
Guys, I'm an amateur.
It can change. So
it's understandable. It's kind of unfair because, again, this was a Friday pick for a Sunday game.
That's where I got jacked up. I'm sorry about that.
But as John says, we're saying you got to do it now.
Exactly right. Yeah. That is the way it goes.
We're in the moment here.
So you pushed. You did not win.
Okay.
You pushed, which would bring his record to what?
31-42-1.
All right.
31-42-1.
Okay. All right. And let's see. And that would bring his.
Flip it. You're 42-31-1.
Yep. All right. So that would bring his. So he's losing at about 57.5. 57.5% is your losing rate, for the audience, their winning rate.
So they're fading me, and that's how you win is when you do the opposite.
So that's going to come out to about seven, maybe eight units. Which again,
we were higher a couple of picks back. Oh, that's where he's been hitting and pushing.
But again, let me tell you something. If you could guarantee over, let's say this, we started this in what, late April?
Yeah, when the playoffs started.
If you could guarantee that in a month and a half, I'm gonna win